I think he did that, but I don't think he stopped anywhere in apparel.
And by groceries, are you talking about fresh produce or canned goods?
Well, canned goods, and he would have sometimes have. They didn't have too much fresh produce in stores, and you grew it in your garden. And this was mostly canned goods and you know, flour and meal and bread and things like that.
Did he have any type of meal at the store to grind?
No.
I understand the store was in two sections, one that was two stories tall and another piece that was one story tall.
Yep, that's right, yeah.
Was the store itself all the first floor across both parts of the
building?
No,
it was the front of it had a little cover over it, and it had these great big stones that made a walk in front of it, and the store that was that he used, that was upstairs to it, that had about four or five bedrooms. And this side over here was used for storage. I don't recall.
That's the side nearer the railroad.
Near the railroad, that's right, yeah.
Do you remember anything about staff, if any other people worked there besides
you? No, I never did know if anybody that worked with your grandfather.
Did you do any shopping there?
Oh, yes, I shopped there, uh-huh.
Did you pay cash or charge?
Well, we always paid cash. My daddy wouldn't let us charge.
And did your father charge, or did you?
No. We paid cash all the way through, Jimmy. We didn't know what it was to have a charge account, which was, my daddy thought was good business.
What about the other store across the street?
Well, they handled piece goods, lace and buttons and they carried kerosene. I can remember people coming in later on and getting kerosene down there, and they had cotton, you know, cottonseed meal and hulls and I don't know whether they had horse collars and things like that. I just cannot remember. But they eventually carried some frozen foods, I think. They got, you know, did that. But I don't know. I can't remember when Mr. Boggs, well, he was in the store for a good long time. I don't know when. I don't know how long he was... And you know how long the store was open, and I know that he became ill and had to retire.
Norman Boggs?
Huh?
Norman Boggs?
Yeah, Norman Boggs, uh-huh.
One of the names on the outside of the building still there today is J.D. Morgan.
Yeah, I know it's Morgan, that's right. It was, I believe, it seems to me, Jimmy, that maybe they called that the Morgan Boggs place when we first went there. I don't know whether, I'm not sure about that. I shouldn't even mention it. But I do remember the name staying up there on the, you know, it was painted up, the sign was painted up on the store.
Did you ever know Mr. Morgan?
No, I didn't.
Or who he was?
No, I didn't. I have no idea.
In another photograph taken just after the double tracking, the sign over the front of the store says Morgan and Boggs.
Well, that's what I was thinking. It was that, and I guess that was what it was when we moved there.
There's another name that is just barely visible today, still on the storefront, Holden.
Yeah, I remember hearing people, you know, say that Holden and Morgan had it first, I think.
So Holden and Morgan headed together.
I'm just saying that. I don't know. I know that as you say, his name was visible there.
Did you ever know any of the Holdens?
No, I didn't. Never did know Holden, Morgan.
They both, Holden and Morgan themselves, had come from Seneca, and the Holden family for a while lived in Calhoun.
Is that right?
1919, where was the post office?
It was down past the Bog Store, as you almost ready to go under the culvert. There it was. What's the house they still preserve there on the corner of the
Perry House is in the
corner. What?
The Perry House.
Perry House, all right. It was next door to the Perry House.
What did it look like?
Well, it was just a one-room thing, except, you know, you'd go in, there were concrete steps to go up, I remember, and you'd go in, and it was a very small place, and the postmistress had a very small place back there with all of the pigeonholes, you know, for the people's mail.
And who was the postmistress?
Huh?
Who was the postmistress?
The first one I can remember is Miss Desi Chapman.
Did you know her? Or know
yes, I did
her?
Know her. She was a snuff-dipping woman that, you know, looked after the, and she looked after, I think she looked after, you know, very well.
Did the post office keep something like 8 to 5 hours, or?
I think so, something like that. Uh-huh.
And you had to go to the post office
to
pick up your mail.
You had to go to the post office, that's right. To mail your mail and to get your mail, that's right.
What about the stores? Do you have any recollection about how long they were open?
I think they were open from sun up to sun down, really.
6 days a week?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So very long hours.
Yeah, long hours, that's right.
Could you do any other shopping of any kind in Calhoun?
Well, what kind of shopping you're thinking about when you say in the stores? As I told you, Bob's carried material to make dresses and lace and buttons and thread, and he also sold shoes and just general merchandise.
So mostly everything you needed could be found.
That's right.
The
you could buy more. Yeah, good. That's right.
What about buttermilk?
Well, most of the people had cows, and they would milk the cows. They had any butter to sell. Well, people knew who would sell them butter and who they could buy buttermilk from. You could get buttermilk for about 15 cents a gallon. And I think you'd get butter about 25 cents a pound, and that's the way they did it.
You talked about most people having gardens. Did you have one at your
house? Oh, yeah, we had a big garden at our house. Uh-huh. Yeah.
For all your fresh vegetables?
We had a garden, and we had a great big orchard also at our house. I remember one time, and you're going to love this, I remember one time that Lucille and Edith Cochran, climbed over the fence and were getting some apples out of the orchard. And my mama saw them, and so she called to me and said, "Jane, will you please bring me the gun?" And I mean to tell you, those girls fell over that fence, and they were long gone. That was real, real funny.
Tell me about the fence. Did it surround the entire house?
No, it didn't surround the entire house, but it surrounded the entire orchard and the garden. And there was a fence that went between the, we had a fence that went between, that fenced off the garden and the orchard separately. Yeah, we had a wonderful orchard there.
Did most houses at Calhoun have fences of one kind or another?
No, uh-huh.
Did you ever go shopping other places?
Oh, we went to Anderson shopping a lot. That was, and Seneca. But Anderson was usually our special place to shop until we got older, and then we would go to Greenville to shop. But I can remember that we would get Miss Sophie and take her shopping, and oh, that was a real experience for her to get down there and to Anderson, you know, shopping. But we went down there, you know, fairly often.
Well, could you go to Seneca on the train for shopping?
No, we went in the car.
And that was with your parents, I
guess. That's right, of course, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
Why did you say that when you were older you could go to Greenville instead of Anderson?
Well, it's because you could take the train and go by yourself, see, when you were older.
But Anderson was with your family.
Well, that's right, Anderson was, that's right, uh-huh.
What about shopping over at around the college? Were there things you needed to go over there to buy?
Well, of course, you know, the Kellers had, you know, practically everything in his store. And I've forgotten the name of the man who had a store over there, it wasn't general merchandise, it was more, maybe it was, you'd class it general merchandise. Maybe you could get the color of thread you needed over there or something else, but I can't recall the man's name, and I can't. All that we did, I know that we would go to the shoe shop over there, and we had to send clothes to be cleaned, you know, over there. And other than going to the drugstore and the picture show, well, I just don't recall too many things that were available there at the time. Well, now, Hoke Sloan did have, I guess the Sloans had a men's ready-to-wear for quite some time, but I can just remember when Hope Sloan had it, and I don't remember the years, when he opened that.
What about the Martin Drugstore?
Yeah, Martin Drugstore was the only one, and of course it was a hangout place for, if we wanted ice cream, that's where we'd get it, you know.
Speaking of going there for ice cream, what all would you and any of your friends have done for fun as you were?
Well, we would walk to the picture show oftentimes. And
where
and
was the picture show?
It was in the YMCA.
And we're talking about black and white silent movies?
That's right. Where somebody played the piano and all that. Uh-huh.
Did you have a good pianist, or do you remember?
Well, I thought it was good, you know. It pleased me. It pleased me.
I hear that the reels used to either
break, and that's right, and then they'd have to patch them and put them all, rewind them and do all that. Yeah, it was.
Do you have any recollection of how much it cost to go to the movies?
I don't. I imagine 15 cents would be a reasonable guess on that.
I assume if there was only one place in town, it must have been quite a mixture of younger children, cadets, townspeople.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Uh-huh.
So you were allowed to walk over to the movie without your parents?
During the daytime. We would go in the afternoon, see.
But not at night?
Not at night. No, somebody always comes us if we went at night. Maybe my daddy would drive us over. And then come back for us when the show was over, and that we would, you know. And I remember seeing The Birth of a Nation. I remember seeing that, and what was another one that I can't, where they had all the chariots and things.
Was that an early version of Ben-Hur?
Yeah, that's what it was. Ben-Hur was what it was. I couldn't come around to that.
What other things were there to do for fun?
Well, we had church parties. And then as we got older in high school, they always, when the cadets would come in the fall, well, they always had receptions at each one of the churches. And I'll tell you something else. When we were in high school, we belonged to the Epworth League and the BYPU and the, what was ours? Christian Endeavor. We went to all of those things, and we did it so we could be with the cadets. And I can remember going to BYPU, Christian Endeavor, and Epworth League.
And what are those three? First of all, what is BYPU?
BYP, Baptist, Baptist Youth, BYPU. But anyway, that was a Baptist one. And I'm sure the Y stood for youth, and I don't know what the PU stood for. And Christian Endeavor was the Presbyterian, and Epworth League was the Methodist.
Where were these activities held?
In the churches.
Buildings?
In the churches, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And these were not Sunday morning, they were some other
time? They were usually Sunday afternoon, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You say it was a great way to meet the cadets?
Oh, yes, great way to meet the cadets, yeah.
Calhoun must have been a wonderful place for teenage girls growing up with all the
well, in a way it was, but I always felt that we were limited in facilities over there. I always felt that if we could have had, for instance, if we could have had the lights and the water and all the things that make for better communication.
Must have been a little bit difficult to get to meet the cadets if they were pretty much confined to the college premises for
it was on the weekend that they could on Saturday night I think they could stay out until about 10 o'clock and maybe about 8 on Sunday night, and I remember one time that your mother and I double dated at my house, and she wasn't too interested in the one that she was dating, and she said, "I need to go get myself a drink of water," and I never saw another thing of her. She walked home and left me there with the two cadets.
Which was one too many for you.
Was one too many for me. That's right. But I remember that. I teased her about that a lot. I don't know whether she ever told you that or not. But
no, she sure didn't. And I assume even at that you were well chaperoned with your...
Well, good night. Well, chaperoned, because I'll tell you what's true, Jimmy. My mother died when I was 15 years old, and my brother was 19, and Lila was 10. And my mother had looked after us all through the years. She took care of the children, and my daddy brought in the bread and bacon. And when my mother died, my daddy was so strict with me, good night, liar. By the time I was able to go out and date and go out by myself, Lila was able to go out too. She never did know what it was to. And I was had graduated from college before I could, you know, go out as I pleased.
Did the cadets come to high school parties to meet girls?
Well, now, I don't remember that we had, I don't remember that coming to high school parties. I remember that in 1922, we had the junior-senior party at my house. And that's when Wright Brown and Ben Martin and Carter Newman what was the McHugh boy? Ralph McHugh and all of us, and we had the party there at my house. And of course that was shortly after we first got Delco lights, you see. And I remember that the teachers came and we had did all kind of things, you know, games and things for us to play at the party.
Did you have a Victrola?
Oh yes. We had one. We'd had one a long time, even before we moved there to Calhoun.
Did you have a piano?
Yes, we had a piano. Uh-huh.
Did anybody play that for the party?
Well, I just don't recall whether they did or not. I remember that. But Lila and I started taking music.
From whom?
From, we started first with, what's the name? Faith Clayton's sister. I don't know whether you mentioned the name while I was going up. It wasn't Ethel. If you heard her speak of Ethel, and I've forgotten what her married name was, but she came to our house and taught Lila and me piano. And then later on we took from Miss Dargan, it was, D-A-R-G-A-N.
Was she in Calhoun? Or
no, she was Clemson. Her husband was a professor there.
Were there opportunities for those of you young girls growing up in Calhoun to go to any dances on the college campus?
Oh, there were opportunities if your parents would let you do it, you know. Oh yeah, there, some of them went and some of them didn't. Now, when we, I remember when we were there, we went joined the UDC, Lila and I joined the UC. I don't believe your mother belonged to the UC. I remember Francis Henry. Oh, so we would go to the college to the UDC meetings, and we also had a music club that we went to, and that would be in some of the homes. I would have it at my house sometime, and you know, we would have it, and then different ones would have the music club at Ms. Doggin had quite a bunch of music people, and then we would go to the UDC and Ms. Mills, Toots's Mills, you know, mother was for a long, long time. She was the one who had charge of our, not the UDC, it was United Daughters of the Confederacy was what it, no, United Children of the Confederacy, I think that was. Maybe it was called just Children's Confederacy. I think I have my certificate back. That's still when I belong to that Children of, it was called Children of the Confederacy.
Well, from what you said about the dances, if your parents would let you, it sounds like a lot of the Calhoun parents of the young girls would not allow them to.
Well, I don't, that's right. They didn't.
Were you allowed to?
No, I was not. No, I was not.
Together, my grandmother did not allow any of her daughters to the Clemson dances.
Well, I don't know. I guess Hazel Boggs, who was when John Boggs is what was her father's name, lived out there a good distance. I don't recall, but it seems to me she did go to the dances.
I understand there were also dances at the Boggs store.
Well, now, I don't recall that, Jimmy.
Any other types of entertainment around?
Well, we played cards a good bit. I remember that we played Old Maids and we played Setback. That was a game similar to 21 now, you know, that you play in Vegas and around Tahoe. But anyway, we played that and we would... I remember that we and that was Shorty Henry was Francis Henry's brother, and they used to, Shorty and Francis used to come to our house, and the three of us, and I think we played Old Maids and played, you know, games with playing cards, which a lot of people wouldn't allow their children to do it, but we were never refused, you know, that.
It sounds from a lot of things that you're saying that life was fairly strict for young people back then.
Well, it was. Shoot, it really was. Not only family life, but you go away to college and think of how strict it was when we went to Winthrop. They were very strict on us.
I was there a couple of years ago with my mother, and she tells me that you even marched to church on Sunday mornings.
You marched to church on Sunday morning. Well, I don't mean you actually just marched, you know, but you walked to church, but you would go in groups. And you could go to town once a week, and you could not play cards, you could not smoke, and not until we were seniors could we leave the campus except at Christmas and at spring holidays. We took our exams, that they started taking out exams the day after Thanksgiving, our first quarter exams, and then when we were seniors, we could have one weekend off a quarter.
Enormously different from college life
today. Isn't that the truth? Goodness, yes.
So let's talk a little bit more about downtown Clemson area and also about churches. What did the downtown area of Clemson look like?
Well, you know, it hadn't changed too much, really.
Were the stores brick by the time you moved there?
Well, yeah. Well, the no, I think I don't know. I remember the store up by Cliff Taylor's shoe shop. That was a wooden building, and there's this store on up past Cliff Taylor's there before you get to, you know, where the street runs into College Avenue runs into, I reckon, the highway. It used to be the highway, you know, that came all the way through there. And that was just, you know, just very, very few stores. That was Captain Clink Scales and then the Sloan store. And they were very, I just can't recall any eating places at all.
Did you ever, as a child, have a place you could go out to eat other than at somebody else's home?
I can't recall it except, you know, that I cannot recall doing it. It was either at the church. I remember that our Sunday school teachers had a good many parties. I went to the Methodist church, and Ms. Driggers, I remember, was the pastor's wife, and I remember she used to entertain the Sunday school class fairly often.
Entertainment must have been an important part of church activities then.
Well, it was. Of course, you'd have those parties where you had guessing games and, you know, this, that, and the other, playing musical chairs and, you know, things like that. And then they would always have a lot of cape that had icing on it that you invariably got on your Sunday clothes, you know.
And got unhappy parents when you got home.
Yeah, that's right.
What was going to church like? There must have been a wide mixture between townspeople and cadets.
Oh, yes, it was. And we always, you know, went to church. But we always, my daddy always carried, I remember we took the Henrys to church all the time, and then after the Henrys built a house, and they built a house directly behind our house, and I remember my daddy drew the plans for that house, and I think sometime after that, I don't know, but it seemed like we were hauling people back and forth to the Methodist church so much of the time, and then we finally carried the Whitens to church. And so my daddy was a good person to take people to church and come and pick them up, you know. And he did that for many, many years.
Aside from his kindness to your neighbors, this is also rather restricted your coming and going to church and made you all the more chaperoned by a lot of people.
Well, yeah, but that didn't bother me. But when I got, you know, when I got high school age, and we would try to sit, the boys, the cadets always had special places to sit, but we would always try to get in there and sit in the row just in front of them, you know.
And drop something so you'd have to turn around a little bit?
Could have been. Could have been, but it was, it was, and I remember we always went out, there was a group of us who always went out and sang Christmas carols, and I remember that. They'd come by fast. I could go as long as there were several people in the car, you know. They would allow me to go, but this business of going out dating somebody, going out by myself was just, that was out until, as I said, until I was, maybe a junior or senior in college.
You mentioned a day or two ago to me about the church down below or behind your house.
Yes, that's right.
That was the Wesleyan
Methodist
Church.
Yeah.
Was that church there and functioning as a church when you first moved to California?
Yes, it was, yeah. We went down there, you know, a time or two, but then we, Mama wanted us to go on over to Mr. Driggers. Reverend Driggers came over, and he wanted us to come to Sunday school over there, so that's when we went there.
What was the difference between the Wesleyan Methodist and the Methodist Episcopal
Well,
Church?
Well, I would say that the Wesleyan Methodists are more emotional and do a lot of shouting, Jimmy. I can remember that I could hear them down there at the church maybe 11 and 12 o'clock at night when we'd have our windows open all the time, and they would get real, you know, happy. Now the just regular Methodist, as you know, was a more when I say dignified, I don't mean it in a critical sense, but we were a quieter operating one, you know.
And probably not operating nearly as much at night as you're suggesting.
That's right.
Were those at special revival times, or did they frequently?
No,
have
I think they did it. They did it. They did it. Practically, you know. Well, I know they did it at revival time, but it seemed like it happened every Sunday night.
So they were not only Sunday morning, but
that's
Sunday night.
That's right, Dad. That's right.
What families in town were involved with the Wesleyan Methodist Church?
Well, I think your grandmother and your mama and the family there and the Careys and let's see, I think the Boggses, dear Louise Boggs and Norman, is a long time before they ever went over to the Baptist Church, and the Cochrans, and Mr. Charlie Lawrence and all that family. I'm trying to, you know, think of all these. Charlie Lawrence and his family, which was pretty good size, and the Pikes.
Since a lot of these families had five or more children, it didn't take too many families to fill up the church.
That's right, that's right. The Pikes, I remember that. And you know, those are ones that I remember.
Do you remember who was the minister of the church?
No, I have no idea. I remember that your great uncle John Carey preached down there a lot.
And the Cochran you're referring to would be Newt and Bell Cochran.
No, I'm talking about Edith and Sue and they called Tiss. They had a sister, that older sister, a beautiful girl. When she was about 18 or 19, was bitten by a mad dog and died of it.